With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another edition of the 7th Inning Stretch. I'm Justin Wells, and joining Armando and I tonight is a guest who's going to talk with us for this entire time. Joey Connors. Joe Connors, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, fellas. I'm happy to be on. Love some baseball. Can't think of a better podcast to be on to talk baseball.
Great. And then Armando, as always, you're here.
Yeah,
how you doing?
I'm good, man. But I could think of a few better ones, Joe. I mean, don't you're lying. You're lying at that point.
I'm just being nice.
I knew it.
All right, so we're gonna get into it with the biggest news in baseball this week. Chicago White Sox have reached a deal to name their stadium Guaranteed Rate Park. I don't know if that raises any sort of excitement like it does for me with you guys. But have we gotten to a point with naming rights deals where they're just absolutely awful and should stop?
I think, dude, yeah. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Sorry about that, Mondo. Yeah, I it's to the point where they are awful and they should stop. But because we're Americans and American business owners, and really any business owner is all in it for money, it's just going to keep. With the trend of whoever is the sponsor, whoever ends up sponsoring these ballparks is just going to fork out tons of money to the ownership. So it doesn't matter. It could be a sewer, anything. It could be the worst name on earth. As long as it brings them money, they just don't care. But Guaranteed Rate Field is, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head that's worse. And I'm struggling ever since we talked about this pod. I was struggling to find a worse one.
You know, you have a good idea for a sewer company. With the Reds being right on a riverfront, they could just, you know, name their stadium Schitt's Creek. The way they're playing, it kind of fits.
That's right.
Yeah, but no, it's bad. Armando, you get to root for a team that has a stadium that's got a classic name and bears the name of the team and the stadium name. So.
Yeah,
you don't really get to answer that one very well.
I'm lucky, bro. Like, I don't have to worry about going to a shit name, you know? And I just feel bad for people in Chicago, dude. I mean, Comiskey was good, you know? It is what it is. That's what everybody still refers to it as. That's a true Sox fan, you know? And then it took them forever to get used to U.S. Cellular. And once they finally did, it took them like 13 years. And now it's this. And it's just like, dude, is it worth it at that point? It's like some of the fucking hideous logos that you see on these, like, on these soccer kits, like some of these fucking logos are terrible and people are paying tons of money for this kit and it just doesn't make sense, bro. Like, I don't understand it, bro. Like, there has to be some sort of like agreement between ownership that you can't fucking deface the value of MLB by having some stupid bullshit name like that.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. I mean, I like all the stadiums that have older names, like, you know, Wrigley Field. You're never going to see Wrigley Field change its name. Granted, it was named after a gum manufacturer in the early 1900s, but still, it's a classic name. Same thing with Fenway Park, Dodger Stadium, Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. These are stadiums that have a history, and they're, it's also, I feel like, a lot easier for baseball players to talk trash if they don't have to be like, Yeah, wait till you get to Fenway instead of, yeah, come see us at Guaranteed Rate Park. It's impossible to talk trash with some of these names of these stadiums. Impossible.
Oh, man, that's the best point of them all, to be quite fair.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean, like, I thought the same thing about the NFL, too. Like, do you think Ray Lewis ever said to someone, like, when they're coming over the, like, you know, in a divisional rivalry game to a running back, like, yeah, just wait until you get to M&T Bank Park. Like, really? I guarantee you he never talked trash that
way. In all honesty, I don't know half the NFL names, bro, of the NFL stadiums.
That's because they change every 4 weeks.
They do. They're bad. Yeah, they are bad. But you're right. I mean, that's pretty pathetic. Although, if I've seen Ray Lewis anywhere, I could see him in a baby store, and he would scare the shit out of me. So,
scary man.
Yes, he is. And I love Ray Lewis, but he is a scary man.
And speaking of scary situations to be in, the other greatest story in baseball in the last few weeks, Billy Butler, Danny Valencia, getting into a fight over the shoe contract. Armando, how do you feel about this one?
Look, bro, for me, there was some cardinal rules broken in this. First off, Billy Butler mouthing off for no fucking reason. Like, just mind your fucking business, eh? Okay, B, he's a grown man telling another grown man, according to reports, like, what are you gonna do about it, bitch ass? You don't call another grown man a bitch ass, alright? That's liable to get your ass whooped right then and there, right? Danny Valencia was cool enough to be like, wait, what? And then this motherfucker keeps running his mouth, and dude, ultimately, you're messing with a guy's money. You're messing with a guy's situation. Like, just fuck off, Billy Butler. Like, who the fuck are you? And I'm so glad that he got that concussion. I'm so glad he got his ass kicked by Danny Valencia. And I'm glad Danny Valencia didn't get suspended.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things that we got to mention with this, which is Billy Butler is the ultimate addition by subtraction player. Second he ends up leaving Kansas City and they replace him with anybody else who makes more contact and actually fits moving a lineup down through an order, they go to a World Series and win another one. He ends up in Oakland, and what has he done in Oakland? Nothing. He's been awful. He got paid and he sucks. This guy took his money and he sucks.
And it's just a cancer, bro. Runs his fucking mouth. Apparently there was problems in KC too. It's just like you said, addition by subtraction. Less is more, my man.
Yeah, yeah. And look, also, Oakland started scoring once he went to the DL. Their lineup went on a tear.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to snitch on a grown man like that. Where I grew up, you don't do shit like that. And, you know, if you're going to get into a fight, how are you going to get knocked out by some dude and then go on the DL for a concussion? Like, that shit's embarrassing. You can't show your face in that locker room anymore.
Well, there's about another 12 million reasons why he hasn't shown his face in that locker room. So that should be more interesting.
Dude, I just think, for me, like, I just love that they interviewed other players, and I don't know the pitcher's name, but they asked him, and he was sitting here, and he's just like, you know what, the only reason this is worth talking about is because we suck. If we were good, they would say this is just, like, playful. When the fuck is whooping your teammate's ass playful? When did Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent choking him out in the dugout become playful? Like, that's not true either, dude. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You know what, though? Bonds and Kent, there's forgiveness given to them because that year they at least went to the playoffs. I think that might have been their World Series year. That might have been in 2002 that fight happened.
Maybe.
Like, could get away with that.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, they're still the two most hateable people you could ever want to meet.
Oh, absolutely. And for some reason, you and I always come back to how hateable Barry Bonds really was. It's like a constantly recurring theme of our show, but, I mean, for good reason. He's pretty goddamn hateable.
Yeah, easily. Very much so.
But moving through, your two teams, and the reason Joey here is because we have a lot of Philadelphia Phillies to talk, and they're a team we haven't spoken that much about this season. But a lot of intrigue and side stories between the Dodgers and Phillies over the last few weeks. We're going to start with the A.J. Ellis for Chooch Carlos Ruiz trade. Joey, how do you feel on the Philadelphia end of that trade to be losing Senor Octubre?
Well, I mean, I guess you could say it's bittersweet, although I'm over that romance stage of sports because I'm old enough to kind of see it for what it is. But I mean, you only got one person left from the 08 World Series team, and that's Ryan Howard. And the only reason he's there is because can't trade that contract. But, you know, I mean, he's an older player. I'm sure Mondo doesn't like that you lost AJ Ellis. He seems like he's sort of a little heart and soul to that Dodgers team, and he was certainly Kershaw's catcher. So, my point of view, AJ Ellis, if he can do anything to help some of that young pitching, if he can give them the Phillies pitching any kind of tips, I mean, he's like a story in himself. You know, I think he was undrafted, I believe, right, Mondo?
Late draft pick.
Okay, so yeah, he's a guy who made a like 11-year career basically from people telling him he was never going to play. And Chooch was kind of the same way. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much Chooch adds to the Dodgers, but from my point of view, I'm okay with it. I mean, he's, what, 35, 36 now? He's not going to add a ton. And the Dodgers think they're going to get something for him because they gave up Ellis, which was kind of surprising. But yeah, I mean, it's again, I'm 35 soon, so the romance of that is like, okay, well, I'm a bastard. Like, you run your course, like, get the fuck off my team. So,
all right. And Armando, I mean, you lose the heart and soul of AJ Ellis. How do you feel coming off of that?
You don't make Clayton Kershaw cry, bro. That's all I'm saying, Doc. What the fuck are we doing? What the fuck are we doing? 13 years in the organization, bled blue, fucking, dude, I couldn't be more disappointed, dude. Honestly. Like, I get it. He hits 176. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit, bro? Like, what does Ruiz do that he doesn't do? I mean, I don't even hate Carlos Ruiz. Like, he's been doing, like, he came in, dude, and he's taking extra BP. I mean, bullpen with the guys so he can get fucking used to it. More power to him. I like what he's doing. But why the fuck would we get rid of AJ Ellis? Like, AJ Ellis should have, like, a lifetime contract. And, like, when he's done playing, he could just be, like, the bullpen coach. You get it? Like, as long as Clayton's there, keep that motherfucker around. I don't understand. Like, best case scenario, we re-sign him in the offseason. Because we fucking have to. We fucking have to. I'm, like, beyond annoyed by this. Like, we're in the middle of, like, a hunt for this pennant. Dave Roberts is fucking has us punching well above what we deserve. I mean, yesterday we had an outfield of Kike Hernandez, Dave Segedin, and fucking Howie Kendrick, a second baseman, and we're fucking leading the Giants in the West somehow. Okay, so fucking Dave Roberts is an angel in my eyes right now. And what we're doing in the locker room is like, well, fuck it. Like, let's just see what kind of wrench we could throw in here and see how this works out. Why the fuck, dude? That's my rant for that.
That's an understandable one. I mean, until you went on that rant, I full well came into this particular show with the intention of giving you a little bit of crap about Clayton Kershaw crying, and I was going to reference A League of Their Own, but, like, I'm a little afraid of you after that.
Nah, fuck that, dude. No, fuck that. I cried a little bit. We all cried a little bit. You don't do that, bro. Fuck that. You don't do that to Clayton. Like, you don't. Like,
I don't get it. Mm. I don't get the trade one bit because you're basically trading backup catcher for backup catcher at this point. Like, Ruiz is going to basically, what, is he going to platoon effectively with Alonso?
Grandal, bro. Who's Alonso?
Grandal, sorry. I'm thinking of Yonder Alonso.
No. He's going to get one game every 10 games. Like, yeah. Fucking Grandal is a tank back there. He switch hits. Like, it doesn't make any sense, bro. It doesn't.
Yeah, the familiarity. It's a backup catcher trade.
Yeah, the familiarity that AJ had with all these guys. Like, it's just so stupid, bro.
No, you know what? Also, if your backup catcher is hitting over 150 or, you know, close to 200 and gives you solid defense and spells you one day a week, you're doing fine. That's actually the point of that job. Caveat emptor, AJ Ellis beat the Mets yesterday with a bases loaded double. So, you know, not necessarily a player on my good list right now.
That's what he does. The chips are stacked against him and he comes through, dude. Like, he's just a solid guy and everybody liked him and it just sucks, bro. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And for me, it's just, I hope Carlos Ruiz does very well for us. I hope AJ does well there in Philly. And I just hope that we can get him back in the offseason. Cause honestly, like, who cares? He's our backup catcher, for God fucking sakes, Justin. He's our fucking catcher. He doesn't even play.
I don't understand why you trade a backup catcher this late in the season for another backup catcher. Why do you need a change of scenery trade there? It makes no sense.
I'm dying inside. Let's move on. Fuck this. Let's move on.
All right. So, speaking of players returning home, Chase Utley receiving a hero's welcome in Philadelphia and then slaughtering the Philadelphia Phillies. Joey, you have some strong feelings on this, so you're going to get to take us away on how you feel about that.
Yeah, see, I have, again, Chase Utley from essentially 05 to 09 was an awesome player for the Phillies. He would have been probably a Hall of Famer had he stayed healthy, in my opinion. He didn't, and he came up late. The Phillies caught him up when he was like 26. I have no problem with giving him a standing ovation. None. But to do it throughout the game like a bunch of jackasses, it's embarrassing. You don't do that. And I've never – Chase Utley is one of the few athletes, and I can't think of anybody else, who gets a pass no matter what he does here. He was on a really good World Series team. They won the World Series. I don't know if they're necessarily the best team in baseball, but that's how baseball works, as you guys know. He was a great player for our team for a short period of time. But you guys know this. Cole Hamels was equally as great. I'd argue Jimmy Rollins was better. And you had Ryan Howard, who was hitting home runs and knocking in RBIs left and right. And, you know, he's the only one out of that core group. Chooch, we already talked about earlier. The only one out of that core group who got a pass. The only one. And we kind of touched on it a little while back, and I hate to make things about race because I know it's touchy for people and I know they get offended. I'm a white male. Justin, you're a white male. In the Eastern, over here, it's a little different. Mondo, in California, you've probably been over this way, and if you haven't, I'm sure you know this. It's just a little different. He could do everything. I remember you could do anything, get away with that. I remember after the 09 season, in the offseason, he had knee trouble. Didn't say shit to the Phillies, and he got a free pass for that. And a lot of me, again, I don't want to bring up the racing, but if he was like Jimmy Rollins, couldn't get away with anything. Jimmy Rollins, the fans didn't like because he wouldn't run hard to first base every time. Well, Jonas Cespedes does it all fucking game, but he's a difference maker.
Ha!
So I don't understand why people get so mad about it. And there's a lot of people.
By the way, Joey, there's a running rule in this pod. You're not allowed to say anything bad about Yoan Cespedes.
Yeah, yeah. I love Cespedes, but I knew that was my dig at you, which that I was waiting
great.
For you to come back.
That was great. Thank you, Joe. You made the podcast.
But I'm gonna say, like, he could do no wrong, and a lot of that is because he was a white baseball player, and Philadelphia, our city, eats up quote-unquote blue-collar athletes, even though we don't know these fucking people. All you see is what's in the media. Chase Utley never talked, never gave a good interview, was the most boring person on the face of the earth, whereas I gravitate to a guy like Jimmy Rollins, who's flashy, who talks a little trash but backs it up. And I hear sports talk radio, and again, we still talk about Chase Utley like he's on this team. I mean, this team hasn't been good in 5 years, 6 years, and he's still... Look at all the athletes just in baseball. Mike Schmidt, probably the greatest third baseman ever. They hated him here. Hated him. And they only loved him until years after he retired. Then they understood and captured him for the player that he was. Chase Utley could go and murder a family of five in Philadelphia. And apparently he'll get a pass because, you know, he has the pretty hair. He's a good-looking white guy. I mean, you guys tell me what you think about that. Am I looking at it from the wrong angle?
I'll let Justin answer first. I got to compose.
So, when I think about these Phillies, the Phillies teams of the basically 2007 through 2012, that 5 year run that they had, I judge my reaction to each of these players basically as a Met fan. You know, a guy who had some teams that were rivals to them in 2007 and 2008, and then had some just awful teams that they demolished for years. I rank them by how much I hate each particular player as the indication of how good I think they were. There's not a single Philadelphia athlete I will ever detest more than I detest Chase Utley. Some of it has to do with other things like him killing my shortstop last year.
Get over it, bro. Get over it.
But I think Chase Utley, I think part of the reason that he gets a pass from a lot of Philadelphia sports fans is also because I think he's, at least in this era of the Phillies, I think he was the best player of them all. I really do. He was every single time it seems like he came up in a big spot, he came through. I think he was the clutch linchpin. And with Jimmy Rollins, it's not so much also the the I think the perceived lack of hustle, because I always thought Jimmy Rollins the guy who actually hustled. I think for him, it's just there were holes in his game. He was a leadoff hitter who, you know, hit for a lot of power, wasn't a high on base percentage guy. And he, you know, when Jimmy Rollins' bat really started to fade, it really faded. I mean, I remember he was the MVP, the NL MVP in 2007, and he was basically unreal. You know, I think he put up 30 and 94 from a leadoff spot with another 30 or 40 with around 35 steals. I mean, that's an unreal year. 2008, he had a repeat of it. But then from about 2009 to 2012, Jimmy Rollins really greatly diminished as a player, especially in the on-base percentage and power categories. And I think that's part of the reason why the memory of him is weaker. Howard was never the same player after his Achilles snapped.
No, totally agree. Yeah, that was a horrible injury, and that's a horrible injury in any sport. But no, I totally agree with that. But if you – let's start to cut you off. But if you listen to people here, all they talk about against Jimmy Rollins, and you do have – Your points are perfect about him being a leadoff hitter and the low on base percentage. But people always bring up I stopped listening to sports talk radio here because they just talk about the same stuff all the time, which is sad because it's a huge market for it. But I just don't think it's up to par. They always talked about him not hustling, and that's
well. I mean, Charlie Manuel did him no favors by benching him.
Benching him. Yep. Yeah, he did it, and
he pulled him from multiple games because of perceived not running down to first, but. Everybody does that at some point.
Exactly. Agreed.
Jonathan Papelbon strangled the NL MVP in a dugout for not doing that last year.
Yeah, he's a jackass, but yes, he did.
How does he still have work?
I have no idea.
God damn,
because anyway. There's so many bad relief arms in baseball, Armando.
He's one of them.
Oh, yes. He's trash.
Yeah,
he's
okay. Cool. All right. But look, my Chase Utley take is this. For me, I hate the Phillies, Joe. I hate the Phillies.
You should, man. We bounced you 2 years in a row in the playoffs, as you damn well know.
So that is still fresh. Yeah, I hate the Phillies, right? But I'm with Justin when I say that Chase Utley is the one I hated the most, because he embodied, I guess, maybe it is the media's perception out here on the in LA. I've been to Philly once, so I've been there, so I get the feel for the city and stuff. But I, you know, being out here, all we got is media coverage, and Chase Utley he embodied what people would think Philadelphia is, you know, blue collar or whatever. And you're right, he's just fucking boring. I get it. Like, even here, he's boring. But even here, he gets the same fucking, like, oh, he's a great leader, a great pro. He doesn't say shit. So, like, you know, he puts his head down and he does his job, and that's cool. When he's healthy, and when he's healthy, he's a good baseball player. We're seeing that again. I also think that for Chase, you know, or for Jimmy and Ryan Howard, maybe they overstayed their welcome. You know what I mean? I think Chase Utley at the end of his career with the Phillies was injured a lot, so he wasn't in the limelight. He wasn't seen. He wasn't able to be bad, you know? And when he was playing, he was toughing it out, as the media would say. But I think Ryan Howard has overstayed his welcome, and it's not his fault. He just, his body gave up on him. You know, Jimmy Rollins.
I don't think Ryan Howard has a hit against a lefty in like the last 5 years.
Yeah, I get it. You know, but his body really did break down on him. And Jimmy Rollins, I mean, there was holes in his game. And as you age, you know, your bat slows and things happen. But as far as, you know, personality, I love Jimmy Rollins. Like you said, Joe, I think he was great for the game, and him winning the MVP was important in a time when there wasn't a lot of African-American baseball players coming through the ranks and stuff. So I do think that was important. And I do appreciate everything that Jimmy Rollins was. And I really got to appreciate him when he came to the Dodgers, because I also didn't like Jimmy Rollins, as you know, because he's a Philly. But what him and Chase have been able to do to sway me is pretty impressive. And I think it says a lot about, you know, the Phillies of that era. And it shows me why they were the better team, why the Phillies won. And it was character. It was who they are on the field and off. You know what I mean? And I don't know Chase Utley. Like I said, he doesn't give interviews here. He's pretty shitty to the media from what it seems. But he does his job, and the guys in the clubhouse really do appreciate him, and they do gravitate towards him, and a lot the same with Jimmy Rollins when he was on our team. And I think that's a credit to the Phillies of that, you know, era. And for me, that's really hard to say because I can't stand the Phillies.
Yeah, and there's one other point I want to bring up that you mentioned, Joe. Chase Utley isn't a borderline Hall of Famer. Chase Utley is a Hall of Fame caliber player.
Yeah, if not,
he will go in at the end of his career.
Absolutely.
Hold on. You guys, honest to God, you guys both think He's a Hall of Fame player, honestly.
Right now.
Absolutely.
Who was a better second baseman, Joe?
Who was in his generation? It was Eric. He's best second baseman of his era, but, I mean, only other guy you can maybe argue is Cano.
Yeah.
At least a better player than Cano.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing, but I don't think that gets you in the Hall of Fame, just my opinion. I'm looking at his career stats right now, and I know that's not everything. I get that. And he does have the World Series, which carries a lot of weight in Hall of Fame. I just think that he didn't do it for long enough. He didn't because of injuries, and that's not his fault. But he, for me, did not do it long enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's
Hall of Fame caliber.
I get that, Joe, but half of the battle to get into the Hall of Fame is public perception, because Barry Bonds is never getting in. Roger Clemens is never getting in. Rafael Palmeiro is never getting in. Whether it's a stigma attached because of whatever, it's still public perception. Okay? So you got to understand that for people outside, baseball writers and people just outside of Philadelphia, Chase Utley is the face of that Phillies run, right? And he was the best player, and his numbers back it up. He's doing it now at 37. And if the Dodgers can do anything in this postseason and Chase Utley can be hot, you better bet your ass, Joe, he's going to get in that hall.
Well, that's a really good topic for another pod if you guys ever wanted to debate that. I just don't think he did it for long enough. You guys have really valid points, but I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. And I don't get me wrong, I sound like I probably hate Chase Utley. I don't. I don't like a lot of the things that he did and the shit that he got away with, but he did win my team a World Series, and he was a gigantic part of that. So,
right. So then going back to your team, what do you actually think about some of the moves the Phillies have done this year, getting younger, getting some of the players that they got in trades for players like Cole Hamels and now also Ken Giles some playing time? I know we've seen a lot of those guys actually now come up. You've seen Aaron Nola start the season then go down for it. You've gotten to see Jake Thompson. You've gotten to see Jared Eichhoff. You've gotten to see Vincent Velasquez. You've gotten to see Adam Morgan. What do you think about some of these young pitchers and then some of the younger position players like Odubel Herrera, who is an absolute stud, and then Aaron Altherr, and I think Jorge Alfaro is coming up soon, or is he already up?
He came up for one game before AJ Ellis could get over, and then they sent him back down. But yeah, they got a lot of top prospects, but you guys both know that that's just, it's so hit or miss. Nick Williams could be a good player. I mean, they got him in the Hamels trade. Alfaro's got all the tools to be a really good catcher. It's just, it has to translate, and trying to guess that is just close to impossible. There's once in a lifetime talents who just come along that you go, okay, that guy's going to be really good. Like Bryce Harper. I mean, I don't really like Bryce Harper, but I understand that.
Nobody should.
Yeah, I get that he's a great player and he was number one pick. I understand that. So he looks like your prototypical baseball player. Kind of knew he was going to be fantastic. But it is, as bad as we are, it is exciting to see what you get in return and when you start to see these kids. The Giles trade, you got Vince Velasquez, who I don't know how enamored the Phillies are with him. I didn't think they were going to trade him at the deadline, but they were certainly listening to offers. So I don't know. I mean, pitching for me, and you guys may differ on this, but pitching to me, you have to have some resemblance of bullpen. And you have to have at least three good starters, at least, to make it anywhere in baseball. You could have, you need to have a good offense, of course. But I remember the Phillies had was it the 0-11 team? They had the four aces, and then we couldn't beat the Cardinals, which was embarrassing. But pitching really is everything. So they do have some arms coming up. Whether that translates to being really good, I don't know. I mean, they have some bats too. Again, they have some outfielders. They got Dylan Cousins. I don't know how good he can be. He's destroying Double-A baseball, which is obviously much different. They have a lot of prospects. Drawing a blank on the shortstop right now.
J.P. Crawford.
Thank you. He was supposed to come up in September, but he didn't have the year that I guess the Phillies organization thought he would. So I don't know if he's going to get called up. There's a lot of talent there. You just have to hope that some of it hits, because the Phillies are certainly not a small market team. They will spend money. They have cash upon loads of cash. They will spend it. But you got to wait for the right player to be available, because I don't think they'll spend it on a guy who's in his 30s or on the wrong side of 30 and then give him like a 7-year deal, which you see that a lot. I don't agree with it, but yeah, their farm system was awful until the Giles and Hamels trade, which did replenish it. But you know, you can read all the Baseball America you want. let's just see how it turns out. Aaron Nola looked good until he got hurt. Aaron Nola is not a number one pitcher for me. I think he's at best, he's a two, but he's probably a three. And that's in the National League. So you tell me what you guys think.
I think I've gotten to see them a lot more than Mondo just because of the East Coast, obviously, and also within the division. I like some of what they see. I mean, Velasquez can be really dominant. He also can be extremely inconsistent. I think part of the reason the Phillies organization seems down on him is just his inability to stay healthy. He looks like he's already gonna. He looks like a pitcher who's going to develop some arm troubles. Already had Tommy John, and now dealt with, I believe, a bicep injury this year. Never doesn't portend well for the future. But he certainly has a great fastball and swing and miss stuff when he's on. Does throw too many pitches. Jared Eichhoff, I think, is a very solid pitcher. Fantastic curveball. Nola is a really good pitcher, too. I think that what they're just missing really is an ace. That's one of the guys, of all these prospects that they've acquired, the only, you know, none of them have really stepped up and shown that, like, I can be a legitimate major league number one starter. Mark Appel is an interesting one because he hasn't really gotten a look yet, but he's a former number one overall pick. I'm significantly higher on the Phillies position prospects than I am on their pitching prospects at the moment. But I think that they've done a good job in stocking their system. And it might take another 2 years to precipitate into contention, but they've really turned their roster around quite well. Mondo, yeah. Your thoughts on that team?
Yeah, like you said, dude, I don't get to see that much of the Phillies, but they got this young, exciting catcher named AJ fucking Ellis. Damn it! in all honesty, I think that the Phillies are exciting. I think what's going to, you know, they have a lot of talent. Like you guys said, they're stockpiling it. I think they can trade a couple of those pieces for some proven pitching, and then that, I think, can make huge difference. The East, aside from the Mets, and Washington, really, everybody else, I think the Phillies can be part of that if they can just get a couple of arms that are established. Because, the thing, in the East, it gets cold, and the later on you get into the season, you start getting into the playoffs, you get that cold weather, and early on you get that cold weather. If you got good dominant pitching, that gives you a good advantage. And I think that's how these teams need to be built. Unfortunately, the Phillies, like you guys said, their prospects or their pitching on the pitching side haven't really panned out, but I still think that a majority of the trades that they have been making and have made to stockpile this talent have been smart moves, and I think that is commendable. They knew when to blow it up, and it's a process. And like you said, Joe, you never really know how it's going to work out, but the Mets had to do it. A lot of teams had to do it, and now the Mets are stocked with these arms, and it's really paying dividends for them. I know this year isn't exactly as good as last year, but health has a lot to do with that, and that's the crapshoot in baseball, really, is being able to stay healthy. But I do like the Phillies, and I do think that the Phillies are going to be exciting and probably surprise people a little bit sooner than even you'd expect, Joe. I really do like what they're building there.
Yeah, so moving from the Phillies on now into teams in contention, we're going to discuss the wild card races. Now we're going to start in the American League, where right now you have just a glut of teams within 3 and 3.5 games. So you have Boston leading, who are actually just a game back of Toronto in the division, but you have Boston and Baltimore at in the two spots, and then all within three, 2.5 games there, you have Detroit, Houston, who's probably been the best team in the American League over the course of the last 2.5 months, Kansas City, who are the defending champs and are on fire, Seattle, who have hung around and done a really nice job turning the ship around there, and somehow, some way, a team that sold at the deadline. The New York Yankees are a Gary Sanchez-inspired 2.5 games out of a third wild card spot. I think that's a good place to start, is actually with the Yankees at the back. Gary Sanchez, over the course of the last 10 days, is the greatest baseball player who ever lived.
I love the guy. I love the guy. He is amazing.
He's pulverizing everything.
He's fucking amazing, bro. Like, in the limited sample size that I've seen, he drives the ball the other way. He has such poise in the box. Like, this guy's fucking bat stays through the zone. He just has so much pop, bro.
His isolated power is a 450 right now. Yeah. That's
Yeah.
Jeez. That's like video game number.
He's a monster. I mean, obviously he's going to fall back to Earth, right? But if he could stay hot, you know, for another month, the Yanks could sneak their way into this wild card.
Which would be very amusing, because I always like when a team that sells ends up there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't
it works
want
out
this
like
particular
that.
One to do so, though.
Yeah, the evil empire and whatnot.
Yeah, it wouldn't make me happy. But then, if you actually look up the rest of that list of teams, I mean, you have Kansas City and Houston, who are just absolutely on fire. Detroit, who, some reason, just won't die. Whenever it seems like they might fall apart and come back to Earth, they win.
Yeah, I don't understand it. They have no business being here, bro. At this point, I would have not expected this at all from Detroit.
Annabelle Sanchez takes the ball every fifth day for them.
Yeah, yeah.
That should tell you what you need to know.
Yeah,
it's not very good.
I hear you, bro. I don't understand it. I'm telling you. That's like the surprise of the season for me, is how Detroit is keeping up in this race. Like, they should be below 500, in my opinion. Like, I don't get it.
I mean, outside Michael Fulmer and Justin Verlander, their staff isn't very good. Their pen's actually not bad. But there's just not a whole lot there that seems like they can get enough innings, but they just mash. They absolutely destroy the baseball. Sometimes that can win you a lot of games. It just won't necessarily get you to the finish line. But that Houston team's also really interesting. Joe, you have any thoughts on the American League or...
Yeah,
the National League primary guy.
No, I follow both. It's hard with two kids, but I definitely follow. Actually, you guys made it real easy because of the fantasy league. You kind of have to follow if you're going to follow fantasy baseball year. But yeah, I mean, Houston bringing up Bregman and Gurriel, I think those are two additions. They're huge additions. Bregman's really good. So I kind of like them. It's so hard to pick. They're good teams there. Baltimore has amazing offense. I don't know if they have the pitching to sustain that. And I think Boston has a really good offense, but you know, who are you relying on pitching there? David Price just doesn't look the same player. Steven Wright's been their best pitcher all year, but Justin, I think I saw you tweet to somebody on Twitter, but you're dead right in saying you just can't trust the knuckleball with him. So it's hard to pick who's going to come out of there. Kansas City, you know, we all know their story last year. So it looks like it's going to be a really good race.
Yeah, one thing on a player you brought up there is Alex Bregman. I haven't seen a dichotomy of a player start so badly and then so ragingly hot. I mean, he was 1 for his first 23 in the majors, and they stuck with him. And over the course of the last, I think, 15 days, he's hitting around a 350 clip with 5 homers and 12 RBIs. So he looks like he can play in this league. And Houston have a lot of very good young position players. I'm not going to count Gurriel as a good young position player because he's 32, but I'm also very intrigued considering his reputation in Cuban baseball. Some of these guys, Cespedes says he's the best hitter of all the Cubans to come to the U.S., which, you know, right now actually would have probably been Cespedes of all these guys. But I'm interested to see how Gurriel lives up to that sort of hype. Moving on to the National League, we have also a glut, although it's made up of fewer teams. The National League, you have within 2.5 games of the wild card, you have San Francisco and St. Louis in the wild card spots, and then Pittsburgh, Miami, and the Mets all within 2.5 games, and then a precipitous drop down to a bunch of teams that are really out of contention. Where do you guys pin your favoritism there, Armando?
Can I just say that I'm concerned that St. Louis is in the wild card spot as a Dodger fan? I didn't think they'd be there. I didn't even think they'd be better than Pittsburgh. I thought they'd struggle to get. Obviously they're close, but I would rather see a Miami, a Mets, or one of those teams, believe it or not, than St. Louis. St. Louis just, they've proven, you know, their consistency over the last decade or so of just constantly being there and being a menace. It just worries me as a Dodger fan, especially because they whoop our ass all the time. But I really like the Giants, I think, are going to be a lock. I think they're going to make it. And I like the race. I like the Mets, Miami. That's going to keep the East very interesting. And I like the Pittsburgh-St. Louis. That's going to keep the Central very interesting as well. So it really does give a good dynamic. But is it going to be close. I do like the Mets because if their pitching can get right and they can get, I mean, if their pitching can continue to be what it is and they can start hitting the ball a little bit better, which is, we've seen them do a little bit more, I think the Mets can really get into this. Miami's a surprise team. We didn't expect them to be here, but Barry Bonds, you know, and his backpack of magic. Who knows what he's doing there, right? I mean, D. Gordon is proof, right? But I digress. I think the Giants, I'm afraid it's going to be St. Louis, but I really would rather see the Mets, man, to be quite honest. Not because of you, Justin, no, nothing there, but I do think that I'd rather see the Mets in the wild card. I think they have the best rotation, and in this, you know, situation in the playoffs and everything, that's really what you bank on is your pitching staff.
I happen to agree with you. The one thing that's a fun fact, St. Louis hasn't had two consecutive losing seasons since the late 1950s.
Damn.
Yeah. See, fuck the Cardinals. Spoiled as shit.
They are spoiled.
I can't stand them.
Yeah, I'm a little jaded here. I can't root for the fucking Mets. Sorry, Justin. And I certainly am not rooting for Miami.
Boom.
I think.
Boom. I love it.
I'm with Ando. I think. Say, San Francisco is pretty much a lock for one of them. And I wouldn't mind seeing, even though they're a cross-state rival, I'm okay with Pittsburgh getting in. It doesn't bother me. I never like St. Louis. I don't like their fans and their baseball heaven bullshit. You know, that stick that up your ass. I don't really like that. So I'm okay with Pittsburgh getting in there, but nobody else. I'm not rooting for any of those other teams.
Yeah, but who does your head tell you gets into the wild card? Not the heart, the head.
The head tells me that the two teams are there now, San Fran, St. Louis. Even though St. Louis has all those injuries, they just find ways to win, don't they? All the time.
They do. I think it's going to be – I don't think that Pittsburgh or Miami are going to end up in that third spot. I think it's between two of San Francisco, St. Louis, and the Mets. The Mets know how to win. They've proven it over the course of the last year and a half. I worry about and also just looking at objectively, the only thing I worry about is, are they too banged up? But they have a very favorable schedule down the stretch. I don't buy Miami because after Jose Fernandez, that staff isn't very good. If they do get leads, which they can, because that is a team that can hit, the back end of that bullpen is quite good. But I just don't buy them. I don't buy their staff. I don't buy their staff. And I also don't buy their ability to hit for power now without Giancarlo Stanton. They've really been scuffling lately. The Giants have been very bad since the All-Star break.
Yay.
So at some point, you know that they're going to turn that around.
No.
Yeah.
Boo,
I think so.
Boo. Boo. No. I don't want to hear that. I mean, they play the Dodgers for another, they got like another 7 games. I mean, I hope we own them because we need to get a little bit of space here. But I'm confident that we're going to win the West, to be honest. The way they've been playing and the way Dave Roberts has really, you know, got the boys rallying, I really like what I'm seeing. I mean, yesterday we won the fucking game on a hustle play by Seager, and you don't see that, you know what I mean? And we got a rookie leading the charge, playing like a 10-year vet. I really do like the mix of this Dodger team, and we're scrappy. You know, we have no business with the amount of injuries, with the amount of starting pitchers, with the amount of, you know, it's for a rookie manager, with the amount of moves, Yasiel Puig's in AAA. Adrian Gonzalez has had an off year. We have no business being here, and it's just it has a different feel this year for me.
Oh, you guys have absolutely no business being there. The NL record for DL days by and DL and number of players DL'd in one season is this year's Dodgers. Navigating that sort of injury crisis makes me actually think that the Mets have no excuse.
Good. Good. Pansies.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seager, how fucking good is that kid? Jeez.
Bro.
Unbelievable.
He is amazing. To get to see that every day, like, it's just, he shouldn't be that good. He shouldn't be that good. And he's just so calm, laughing all the time. Fucking, it's just so easy, bro. It's amazing. He's the best young player I've seen wear a Dodgers shirt in a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, he is a hell of a player, man.
Oh, he's both probably the National League Rookie of the Year and potentially the MVP. He's one of four guys in that conversation. It's him, the two Cubs, and Murph.
I mean, he's hitting like 330 as a rookie, 25 bombs. Like, What? It's amazing, bro.
He's making the game easy. Like, this is so hard to do what he's doing.
It is. I mean, but for me, it's going to be two of those three teams making the wild card. Getting back to the original point, because I just don't see. Because I like I said, Armando, I think I agree with you about the Dodgers winning the division, and you have one very, very big player coming back.
Yes, yes, and we really need that. We need him to solidify that rotation very badly.
Yeah. So I think that brings us to the end of our program for this evening. Before we go, Joey, you have anything you want to plug?
We did a AI comic pod Sunday with me, Stu, Rory, and Nina. I'm not sure when that'll be out. I do a lot of writing for those guys. I actually have another one coming out if anybody's into anything comic related. And it's not just comic books. I did last one on like feminism and stuff. And some people are like, yeah, I don't give a shit about that. Stick it up your ass. But that stuff's important to me. And maybe you guys can give it a read or whoever wants to. And I did recently did a Muhammad Ali Legends pod with Kay and Hatem, which was I thought was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It was my first time hosting. It was cool. It was really cool, and I thought it came off really well.
I've listened to that. I thought it was great. I recommend to anybody who's listening to this that hasn't grabbed that to give it a listen. And Armando, you know, we don't usually do any plugs for ourselves on this, but got anything you want to plug?
No, I want to plug that Muhammad Ali podcast. Like, without a doubt, probably one of the best podcasts I've heard in quite some time, and it was refreshing on AI not being, you know, football related and getting to hear his story from the perspective of you, Joe, and Kaylin and Hatem. I thought you guys did that absolute justice, and you guys outdid yourselves for sure. Aside from that, you know, just, you know, stay tuned. I just wanted to say that Minnesota Twins, you fucking disgust me. You're a disappointment now. 10 losses in a row. I expected more from you. Sorry, Joe. This is ongoing.
They're so bad.
I had high hopes. Damn them.
You had very high hopes. I mean, listen, I thought they'd be bad. I didn't think they'd be this bad.
You wanted this. Let's be honest. You fucking wanted this.
I wanted to be right about them in Atlanta, and I think I have been.
Close the show, Justin.
All right. Well, as always, for me and Armando, any complaints at Armando Anguilla 12, any compliments at Rolls on Shabbos. Have a nice week.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.